pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study of dispensations has taken us now through dispensation number 7, and that is the tribulation. Now, we as people today are living in the church age, or people call it the church age. This is the dispensation of the church, dispensation number 6, that we're living in right now. And we've looked at dispensation number 7, the tribulation, and now I'd like for us to prepare to go into dispensation number 8, which is the millennium. And as we've studied the tribulation, I'd like for us to recap some of that and see what leads up to the millennium. Well, after the tribulation, Christ comes to the earth. And we've seen this. But in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 and 30, it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Notice it says the tribes of the earth will mourn. That's not talking about saved people now. The saved people are not going to mourn. And there will be people saved during the tribulation. We've talked about that. And we may discuss that a little further a little bit later here. But people will mourn. These are people who have never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." When God says it's so, it is so, and it's going to happen according to his word. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to set up his millennial kingdom. But first, there's going to be that battle, of course, of Armageddon. And we'll look at that in just a moment. Well, what happens when the Lord does come back to earth? We've seen and we've read this before in Zechariah 14 and verse 4, and Zechariah 13. Christ stands on the Mount of Olives. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4 says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountains, or half of the mountains shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." Well, Israel will accept Jesus as Messiah when he does come back. They rejected him. Remember, they rejected him. We go back to the book of Acts and we see how that they rejected him, and we keep reading how that they made a statement. "This is the nation," now said, "let his blood be upon us." Well, the blood was upon them, and God had to set them aside. The Bible teaches us that Gentiles, that's all people who are not Jews, they were grafted in. In other words, God opened the door for everyone to be saved. Well, I believe that all through the dispensations that we've studied, God has given everyone an opportunity to receive him. All they had to do was believe and trust God in order to go to heaven. But right now, as we look at this in Zechariah, Israel will accept Jesus as Messiah. They've refused him up to this point. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." We see at this time Israel will mourn for the one they crucified, recognizing him as Messiah, Lord, and Savior. And thus, they're going to have salvation. Once again, God would say, you're my people. It's like saying, you've come home. You realize who you are, and you realize who I am, and you realize who Jesus is. He's the Savior. He's Messiah. He's Lord. They will recognize him. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 6 through 7 says this, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer. Now they're speaking to Christ. This is speaking of the Jewish nation looking to Christ and asking him the question, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Well, these verses speak of Jesus. Jesus speaks of himself to the apostles, Matthew 26:31, as he quotes Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7 that we just read. He said in Matthew 26:31, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But thank God they'll be brought back together one day when Jesus returns to this earth, and we call that the second coming of the Lord. And the Jewish people will recognize Jesus Christ for who he really is. Well, we keep reading and studying, and we see at the end of the tribulation, there will be a great battle. We spoke of this. It's called Armageddon. Revelation chapter 16, verses 15 and 16 says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. The book of Joel, chapter 3 and verse 2 says, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Now, we know that the Israelite, the nation, the people, the Jewish people have been scattered. They're in practically every nation in the world, but they're going to be gathered totally back together to the Lord after the Battle of Armageddon. We read about this in Zechariah once again. But Joel chapter 3 and verse 12 goes on to say, let the heathen be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Well, it says there that the wicked will gather at the valley of Jehoshaphat for Armageddon. Jehoshaphat, this is the Valley of Megiddo, I believe, is what the Bible is speaking of here. And notice the unclean spirits, according to Revelation 16 and verses 13 and 14, the unclean spirits draw leaders of the earth to Armageddon, where it says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. We've read this before in another study. Unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Well, God is still in charge, and I've said this before, God is never taken by surprise. God always knows what's happened, he knows what's happening, and he knows what's going to happen. And he is the one who knows everything. And he knows what's going to take place. Well, some have asked, who will go into the millennium? Now, remember now, we've talked about the tribulation, and the tribulation ends. But who will go in to the millennium? I see, according to the Word of God, only saved people will enter the kingdom. And the Battle of Armageddon will see the removal of all those who come against Christ. Revelation chapter 19, verse 21 says, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. See, those ungodly people at Armageddon are slain with the sword of his mouth. all that Jesus has to do is open his mouth, and people are destroyed. And notice, when I say destroyed, I'm talking about their bodies are killed. Well, those people who are destroyed, their bodies are destroyed, they go to hell. They are tormented forever and ever because they went against God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Well, after Armageddon, all those who did not come against Christ are judged. And we see the sheep and goat judgment here. First, we see the sheep. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31 through 34. This, of course, is the saved. The saved who are alive after the tribulation. They're the sheep. Matthew 25, 31 through 34. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well, the kingdom, of course, is the millennial kingdom. We keep reading in Revelation chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 9 through 14. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Will people be saved during the tribulation period? Well, this tells us, how many people. It says, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations. Not only do the Jewish people get saved, do Jews get saved during this time, but so will all nations, people out of all nations will be saved during this time of tribulation. Now, once again, this is a history that we're seeing here. It hasn't happened yet. We're in Revelation chapter 7, and this is history of all nations. People are going to be saved during the tribulation period. They're clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And verse 10 of Revelation 7 goes on to say, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These people were saved. And they were with the Lord at this time. And we see this happening. And this is actually before it takes place, and we're reading about it. And, you know, the great things is we're going to be there watching all of this. We're already going to be with the Lord. The Bible tells us that once we leave this body, we're going to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's a fact, according to the Scripture. And once again, I'm praying for the rapture. I'm looking for the rapture of the church. I love his appearing, and one of these days I'm going to go up to be with him. I'm not looking for the undertaker. He's coming for me. I'm looking for the upper taker. He's going to take me home, and I'm going to be with him forever. And I'll see everything that's happening after the tribulation period. And this is something that we really need to be thankful for, that God has saved us out of tribulation.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord.
May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.